Throughout most of American history, the dollar has been defined as a specific weight in gold. Until 1933, in fact, $20 could be redeemed for 1 ounce of gold. But that year, the U.S. government went off the gold standard, and henceforth, American currency would be redeemable into nothing. The government actually confiscated Americans' holdings of monetary gold, nullified even private contracts that called for payment for a good or service in gold, and declared the dollar no longer redeemable into gold by American citizens, but made allowances for redemption by foreign central banks at $35 an ounce, a devaluation of the dollar from its previous ratio of $20.67 an ounce. And even this tenuous link to gold was severed in 1971, when Richard Nixon declared that within a year, at the $35 exchange rate, we would not have an ounce of gold remaining. Other governments had begun to realize that the dollar, which was being massively inflated, was losing its value, and more were demanding gold in exchange for dollars. At that point, Nixon officially closed the gold window so that not even foreign central banks could get gold for dollars. In so doing, he cut the dollar's last lingering tie to gold. Now let's consider at least a few of the nuts and bolts of how the Federal Reserve System typically operates. When we read that the Federal Reserve Chairman is cutting interest rates, what does that mean? Analysts are referring to something called the federal funds rate, the rate that banks charge when they borrow from each other. The banks are required to keep a specific fraction of their deposits on reserve, as opposed to lent out, to be available for customer withdrawal. Banks can find themselves below the reserve requirement set by the Fed if they have made a lot of loans or if an unusually large number of people have withdrawn funds. Banks borrow from each other when they need additional cash reserves to meet the reserve requirement. The federal funds rate rises when there is too much demand from banks looking to borrow and too little supply from banks willing to lend. For reasons we shall see in a moment, the Fed often wants to prevent the federal funds rate from rising. Although it cannot directly set the rate, it can intervene in the economy in such a way as to push it upward or downward. The way it pushes the rate down is by buying bonds from the banks. That gives the banks more money and therefore more reserves on hand to lend to banks that need it. Funds available to be lent to other banks are now less scarce, and a correspondingly lower federal funds rate reflects this. Where does the Fed get the money to buy the bonds? It creates it out of thin air, simply writing checks on itself and giving them to banks. If that sounds fishy, then you understand it just fine. Here, finally, is how the Fed's activity leads to lower interest rates offered by banks. Thanks to Fed purchases of bonds from the banks, the banks now have excess reserves they can lend, either to other banks or to individuals or corporations. In order to attract additional borrowers, though, they must lower their interest rates, reduce their lending standards, or both. When the Fed intervenes like this, increasing the money supply with money and credit it creates out of thin air, it causes all kinds of economic problems. It decreases the value of the dollar, thereby making people poorer. And in the long run, even the apparent stimulus to the economy that comes from all the additional borrowing and spending turns out to be harmful as well. For this phony prosperity actually sows the seeds for hard times and recession down the road. First, consider the effects of inflation, by which we mean the Fed's increase in the supply of money on the value of the dollar. By increasing the supply of money, the Federal Reserve lowers the value of every dollar that already exists. If the supply of Mickey Mantle baseball cards were suddenly to increase a millionfold, each individual card would become almost valueless. Same principle applies to money. The more the Fed creates, the less value each individual monetary unit possesses. When the money supply is increased, prices rise, with each dollar now worth less than before. It can purchase fewer goods than it could in the past. Or imagine an art auction in which bidders are each given an additional $1 million. Would we not expect bids to go up? The market works the same way, except in a free market, there are numerous sellers instead of the one seller in an auction.